Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
It's time to visit with Dr. Jeffrey Copin, Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest Hospital. They sponsor this conversation. And Doctor, it's always good to talk to you. I trust you are well today.
I am, John, but I'm still doing the boogie-woogie, thinking about Gloria Gaynor right now.
I don't believe it was the boogie-woogie. What was the... It was a disco dance. Is a boogie-woogie a disco dance, Doctor? It's not a...
You know, it's so long ago. I don't know about you. I don't remember.
I know. Let's just leave it at this. It's a good thing that they did not have video of us back then the way they do now, because it wouldn't be pretty to watch at least me dancing with my disco clothes on once upon a time.
It is true. Let's be thankful there were not cell phones with video cameras on them.
So, Doctor, we're getting mixed signals now, it seems to me. There's a federal court that has said that they can't mandate masks, and yet on the CTA and Metra here in Chicago, you will still have to wear a mask. It seems to me like, generally speaking, it's becoming a wear a mask if you want to, don't wear a mask if you don't want to. Now, what's your observation about the lay of the land in terms of public transportation today?
Yeah, Jenna, I agree with you. I think that's where we are right now. Individuals who do not want to wear a mask are going to find they will not need to wear a mask in most places. Individuals who prefer to wear a mask will continue to wear a mask, be it on the bus, the subway, on an airplane. People should be able to do that. And as we've been talking about for a very long time, the most important thing is we need to respect one another. If someone wants to wear a mask, we respect that. If someone chooses not to wear a mask at the point we are right now in the pandemic, we have to respect that as well. I'm not surprised that this federal judge ruled the way that she did yesterday, but since it comes on so suddenly and there's no time to prepare, a lot of people are pretty upset right now, and that would be expected. You know, Jen, did you hear about these people who are on the airplane who did not want to remove their mask, who feel strongly about wearing their mask, and the announcement is made by the flight attendant mid-flight that it's okay to remove your mask? You could see how that could be upsetting to people.
Upsetting to people because they feel like they're being shamed or alarmist for wearing the mask?
I think it's because those individuals were not given an opportunity to prepare. It's somebody who wants to wear a mask on an airplane, and now I think it's just a matter of time that maybe even by the time we're done today, all our domestic airlines most likely are going to announce there is no need to wear a mask. No, it's not mandated to wear a mask, but there's still going to be plenty of people who choose to wear a mask for their own safety. They're going to feel safer wearing a mask, and they should do that. I mean, that's going to be important, and those individuals who choose not to wear a mask need to respect those who are wearing a mask.
We would not have mocked them pre-pandemic, so what's the point with the vestiges of a pandemic lingering? What's the point of giving them a hard time already? I mean,
precisely, and vice versa too. I mean, we have the zero COVID people who feel very, very strongly that everybody should still be wearing masks. To those folks, I would say the same thing. You wear a mask.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Your choice. But please don't denigrate in any way someone who chooses not to wear a mask.
See, Bertrand's in the WGN radio newsroom.
Doctor, I'm glad you're here. I've been trying to sort this out. So I don't have a pre-existing condition. I'm not worried about not being masked up, but I don't want to put someone who does at risk. And so I've been wondering, it's hard for me to phrase this question, but were the people with pre-existing conditions who are at risk just as at risk for some sort of infection before the pandemic? I mean, are we back to where a normal sort of rate of caution, back to where they would have been before the pandemic? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, good, Steve.
So before we had this novel coronavirus, before it came into existence 2.5 years ago, individuals with certain pre-existing conditions, certain immunocompromised states, needed to be careful when they went out because they didn't want to get sick with other kinds of viruses. the problem still for many of those folks, and there's a lot of them still who are out there, they're in the millions, particularly those folks who have immunocompromised states of various kinds, they still might not have significant immunity to this coronavirus, to what we know as COVID-19. So should they contract the COVID-19, they could get pretty sick. And that's still true. That's still true. So, Steve, I think your question is, could that prompt some people who are not immunocompromised to want to wear a mask to be helpful to those individuals? And there are folks like that. And certainly if someone decides that they want to continue to wear a mask for that reason, please go ahead. You can do that. But it's the individuals who do have this immunocompromised issue are going to have to take the extra safe step. It's not really on everybody.
But I heard the question the other way. That is it also as safe for them as it was pre-pandemic? It is.
Or as dangerous. Were they always facing the similar danger?
Fair enough. But yep. I mean, but we would not have been so alarmed about their being in public pre-pandemic, even though we knew they were immunocompromised. And if it is as safe or dangerous now as it was then, I think that gives all of us a measure of comfort, right, Steve? Isn't that maybe where the bottom line of that question lies?
I guess it is, and I think the doctor said that it's not, they're not as safe as they were pre-pandemic.
Yeah, that's kind of what I heard. Let's ask the doctor. Hey, doctor.
I agree with Steve. Steve, what you said is right. You know, we still have this novel virus out there, and there are individuals in our community who still do not have immunity for various reasons, including being immunocompromised.
Yes, but about this point, if I may, then what we should have been doing all along was exercising more caution on behalf of these people, or they themselves should have been all along exercising more caution, right?
Well, I think that's what we did do. And one of the things, John, that we're going to have to sort out as we get out of the pandemic were those decisions that we made as a society, mm-hmm. as a nation, were they the correct ones? At what cost was there when we made certain decisions? And what cost was there to certain decisions we did not make to do? And it's going to be really important that we have that analysis, so we know better what to do if, God forbid, we're confronted with a similar situation in the future.
This is very well put. Dr. Jeffrey Copen's on a phone line, Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Help me. I know you've answered this question before, Doc. We'll take a break, come back with the answer to the timing on how long between my first booster I can go before I absolutely should get the second booster. You know, how exposed am I right now? We'll talk about that in a minute. Hey, Doc, we're talking with Dr. Jeffrey Copen from Northwestern, and the question now is, how long do I have between boosters, Doctor?
So the recommendation from CDC is wait 4 months after your first booster before you get your second booster.
4 months between first and second. Okay. Boy, I think my second booster was more than 4 months ago. How vulnerable am I then if I've, because it seems like I've done everything you all have asked me to do. Really? Do I got to get a fourth? Am I throwing all of this precaution that I've exercised in the past down the drain if I don't get that fourth booster, Doctor?
So that decision, John, is each individual's. Everybody has to look at their age. They have to look at whatever type of health problems they might have and decide what their own concern is for contracting COVID. Am I going to get sick if I get it? So, for example, if we have somebody who's 72 years old, who has diabetes, maybe some element of heart disease, somebody like that definitely should get boosted. Should get that second booster shot. However, if we're dealing with somebody, say, who's 50 years old and is otherwise healthy, has received the primary vaccine series of two shots followed by one booster, that person could decide not to get boosted at this time and will do just fine. That person is still protected against severe disease. That person can live his or her life and just do fine. So it's very much an individual decision.
It's funny because the next text is, please ask the doctor when under 50 can get the second booster. It's been over 6 months for me now. You just described a person at age 50. How about the under 50 crowd? When are they scheduled to get the second boost?
As of this time, the recommendation that came out from CDC said, if you're under the age of 50, you really don't need to do this. The recommendation to choose to do it is for people over the age of 50. So for our listeners who are under the age of 50, if you are healthy and you feel comfortable not getting that second booster, it's fine. You don't need it. You're going to just do very, very well without it.
815 says, John, my granddaughter goes to the University of Illinois. Professor said class is going to be virtual due to COVID cases and exposure. The students are 96% vaccinated. This is confusing to me.
It's confusing to me, too. I don't know anything about that professor. Perhaps that professor has medical issues that makes that professor very concerned about the level of infection that there is right now down at the U of I. And that's why that professor said, let's go virtual. I know a number of the universities have given each individual faculty member the ability to decide whether they have in-person classes or virtual classes. So perhaps that's what's going on there. But with an otherwise healthy young group of students who are 96% vaccinated, the students should do well. And if the professor is healthy, I would say the same thing for the professor.
One last question, doctor. Talk to us briefly about pediatric boosters or vaccinations.
So we're still waiting for the data from the manufacturers for the kids under the age of 5. We just don't know yet. Those studies are still ongoing. Data is being submitted to FDA, so it will be interesting to see what those data look like and what the opinion of the experts of the FDA are. We were thinking that we would see that by the end of April. I hope that's still true. Now, kids over the age of 5, they already are eligible to get vaccinated. And the recommendation is that those children should be vaccinated.
That's Dr. Jeffrey Copen. He joins us Tuesdays at this time, answering your questions and mine, too. Okay, doctor, always a pleasure. Thanks for your time today.
All right, John, take care. Bye-bye.